Good morning, everyone. It's 6:35 a.m. We're on the East Coast again. It's Friday, June 22nd. I can't remember if I podcasted yesterday. Yeah, I did. No, I was in the desert yesterday. That was awesome. It's June 22nd. Yeah, it's Friday. And happy Friday to you. Bright and early on the East Coast. I chased the sun. I got to the East Coast before it rose this morning, and I waited a little too long at a Hertz to get a rental car. But I finally did, and I made it home, and it's a beautiful day, I can tell, even though it's going to be raining in Virginia. Left nice weather in Vegas. Good times. Let's talk, everyone. I hope you're all having a good morning. I had an interesting conversation yesterday, considering we're doing a podcast right now. I had an interesting conversation about podcasts. Podcasts are personal. Talked about this a long time ago. Something I've said years ago. When discussing this method of communication, it's just an audio file. It's all it is. But I kind of take the approach of I'm having a conversation with myself and anybody else who might have an opinion that's reasonable. And I try to bring all opinions up in the middle of the podcast and fight myself, debate myself on what's right on weird issues. That's the way I like to have fun with this because it's, you don't even know what direction it's going to go, even though it meanders. And sometimes you would lose interest because I'm off on some tangent that doesn't make any sense. But still, I think it's entertaining. I go back and listen to them and I like some of them. So I love the idea of recording something personal and communicating it, especially on a daily basis, because people get used to the reliability of it. You know, like you really want to put something up every day so that you can check in and find out every day. There's something about being reliable and setting your clock to something that adds some level of security. Like, you know, Johnny Carson's always on tonight until he wasn't. You know, Jay Leno's always on tonight. So even if the material isn't excellent, just the fact that he's there adds comfort to you. So going to keep trying to podcast every day, but podcasts are super personal. And the discussion I was having yesterday with an interesting lady was one of we're talking about referring a podcast you listen to someone else, you know, and whether or not, you know, like you're not going to go listen to Howard Stern's SiriusXM podcast if you are, you know, at work and maybe you have a female boss at work or something, right? You're not going to be like, hey, Mary, you got to go check out this Howard Stern clip where he talks to Don Jr. and Don Jr. talks about his dad's cock size or something. I think that's what happened on either a Adam Carolla interview or a Howard Stern interview at some point. It, you know, you would never want to do that because you're afraid of being called in by HR and spanked with a cease and desist at your job. I don't even know what you get spanked with in HR, but you obviously don't want to be ruining your reputation by recommending something that's probably rated R if that was a rating in audio, right? I understand that. And I complained about a discussion I had on a message board years ago about referring Adam Carolla to other people because we don't do that anymore. But I got referred to a podcast, which I haven't listened to yet, but I had multiple confirmations from multiple people that I respect that it is addictive. You might binge it and it's worth it. And repeat binging it even, which is a whole other, idea. So it's Dirty John, I believe is the name, and it's going to be interviewing a bunch of crazy women, sounds like, and it's going to be entertaining, and I can't wait. So I will binge on that when I stop potting myself, which I'm going to say, because here's why. Talking in person to this nice lady yesterday, and she recommended it, and also I know an occupational therapist in Massachusetts who doesn't even know that I'm reading her posts. And she and I have very similar views on what we like to listen to. And I found that she had commented on this podcast, I don't know, months ago at some point, and had talked about it. And I thought, wow, there you go. Two people I respect both saying you got to do this, and I haven't done it yet, done and done. And So where I'm going with this is a little numbers wise, a little advertising wise, a little just talking about podcasts in general, because we're doing one. And I'm trying to kind of identify what it is that I'm doing here, because it's different things to different people. So I always think about it as solving problems and following what's going on in life and trying to make it interesting, right? Well, what happened yesterday was I got referred to Dirty John. I haven't listened to Dirty John yet, but I've kind of made a semi-commitment to listen to a whole thing. I'm guessing it's like 10 episodes. And that sounds like 10 to 15 hours of listening, I bet. To commit to that is the holy grail of the advertiser and the content provider and producer, right? I mean, you could spend $100 billion making a Star Wars movie and get, as long as it's not about Han Solo, get people to come out every few years and make a lot of money on that because people are used to that franchise. Can you get those people to listen to 10 hours of podcast and be that engaged? Like if you're slipping in the middle of a podcast episode, I'm saying Dirty John. How many people listening to this are going to try and go listen to Dirty John? You'd be surprised. When you're that engaged and listening to something for a long period of time, then things matter. It gets personal. And I always loved this medium of talking to people in your ears. Sort of a one-way conversation, but also arguing against myself. Like I said, it makes it interesting, right? But Bill Burr is where I learned some of this. Bill Burr, who I haven't listened to in a while, but I'm also going to throw him on because I need to laugh once in a while. Billy Red Tits. Billy Burr does phenomenal voices, really is a master of his craft and a true genius. And when lit up, I think comes out with some of the most jaw-droppingly funny comments and with the sounds. The podcast is meant for him. He's doing like a public therapy session for himself sometimes, and being truly honest with the listener. And I think we all crave that now. We crave that authenticity. I mean, anyway, what I learned from listening to Bill Burr question himself repeatedly and argue that the conflicting point of view against what he does and prove himself wrong, it is tremendous. Not just an art form, but it speaks to what type of person he is as a human being, that he's willing to go down the road of disproving himself or criticizing himself in a public forum without planning sometimes. It's just I really respect it, and I try to emulate it as well. So, all right. Point of this podcasting, advertising, the medium. Oh yeah, referrals, personal referrals. So, reckoning of truth. Let's talk about that for the last 10 minutes. And personal referrals, they tie together. So, another part of a conversation I was having yesterday was also about how everything's monitored now, and how the reckoning of truth is upon us, meaning there's no lying anymore because it's too easy to disprove you with independently corroborative facts. So I can't, I can't lie about where I am because the cell phone company's got a ping on my IP address going all the time. And if those records were subpoenaed, then either I got to say somebody had my cell phone, it was in this location, which of course never happens. Everybody has their cell phone on them all the time. And if it did, there'd be other ways to corroborate that. But anyway, the point is there's no lying anymore because I can't say, oh, I wasn't over at Burger King. Yes, you were. We have a credit card receipt from you purchasing a Big Mac, no, a Whopper. And pretzel chicken fries. I don't want to advertise Burger King. I think their food sucks. Actually, as a matter of fact, my grandpa was believed food poisoned at least once, maybe twice from the local Burger King. The doctor actually told him, like banned him, gave him a restraining order against Burger King, said, you cannot go and eat Whoppers anymore. I hate them, so I do not want to advertise for them, but just mentioning them sometimes makes you think of it. Don't go. Go to Wendy's instead. Go to Wendy's and get a baked potato. All right. You heard it here first. Now, so because of the reckoning of truth, and because we can't really lie, I mean, we can try, can try to lie. We can try to lie. We can try to fight the truth, a la El Presidente. You can try, but it doesn't work in the long run, especially now, because there are too many independently corroborative facts. And all that means is it's not just a cell phone company that's got a ping on you, but yeah, it's the financial institution that's running a transaction when you pay for something somewhere if you don't use cash. It's maybe you've got a LoJack or something on your car. If your car is an Internet of Things device, your car is going to be everywhere and probably even monitoring you when you drive. There's all types of different things that are preventing you from making old school lies. I mean, I can remember, calling home from someone else's house at a sleepover and lying that we were at someone else's house in high school 25 years ago, right? That was something you could do, because how did your parents know that you weren't at Tommy's when you were actually over at Jane's? No, that never happened in real life, but it could. How would anybody know? And in the olden days, there was no way to know. The newspaper hadn't come out yet. Tomorrow's Washington Post had not shown up to say where you were last night. No, but now, of course, with phones and pings and location services and yada, 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 you can't get away from it, right? So what does that do to all of us and really kind of dictate how we act? I would hope that we would all understand that this exists, and we would then try to be more honest people, not only because it's so obvious that we get caught, but just for the fact that we want to be honest and genuine with everyone. Now, what about when you want to hide stuff from people? What should we be allowed to hide? Where should we draw the lines on our privacy? I've talked about this before, and I'll go back to what I said then, I think, and I think it still rings true, which is it's tough to legislate this. This becomes a moral prerogative issue, meaning, I don't know, you know what's an interesting example? Maybe Lara Logan. Okay, Lara Logan, reporter, journalist, was in Egypt and was sexually assaulted in a public venue, like covering a riots or something going on in Egypt several years ago now. And the reporting on that was very spotty because it was not anything anybody wanted to hear. It was very sad, from what my understanding. Now, I believe she has come out and been more public more recently. However, because this is one of those reckoning of truth things where, like, there were cameras there, and it's something that I think society has difficulty really grasping, that this is a very public example of something that is completely unacceptable and horrible. And yet you don't want to invade her privacy and make her deal with the rehabilitation process of that abuse in public as well. So we all give her the respect of not how people get harassed by the paparazzi or something. TMZ is not banging down Lara Logan's door being like, what happened in Egypt? And because I think they would be shunned in society. We would say, you're disgusting human beings. Leave her alone. Let her, right? Now, why do we accept that, or where do we draw the line on that? Who are people we don't mind harassing to get more information out of them? How bad are the things that have had to happen to them? Like, where's the line? Why do we accept one, not the other? And it is some type of weird moral prerogative thing. So I guess that it shouldn't be acceptable, right, for you to go through other people's text messages, right, just because you had the ability to do so. I mean, let's pretend that this is a South Park episode from a couple years ago. Last year? A couple years ago. Let's pretend this is a South Park episode where everybody's internet history is publicly searchable online. You know, I think that it happens to the town of Colorado Springs, or I think it does. in the South Park episode, and you know, it's all mayhem, right? Because your wife sees what your porn search history was, and God knows why. It's a disaster. Well, if that was available, and that extended to more than just a browsing history, but also phone records and everything else, and you could go and look at your significant other's text message history or your whoever you want to, whatever, and you had the ability to do that, would we draw the line and say that's not okay? You're invading a person's privacy? I think we would. I think we do now. I think you have the ability to grab someone else's phone and go through it, and you know not to, right? Like, let people be. If they don't want this to be on Facebook, if they don't want it to be on Instagram, if they're not, you know, desperate to share it on Twitter, if they're not, then let them be. You know, don't dig into their personal stuff. I think we'd all agree that. I mean, I've heard Alec Baldwin yell at his wife on a voicemail before. About his kids or something. I feel like that was kind of personal, but she put it out there because it wasn't acceptable. So we're like, all right, well, we kind of want to know Alec Baldwin will get angry on the phone. Right? Well, he's a public person. Should be allowed to do that. You get wishy-washy, iffy. I don't know the answer. I don't know where the line is drawn. I just know that I think we all have to evolve to realize that we have no way of containing the truth anymore, and trying to obfuscate it, or it's very, very, very difficult to do now. And the more people dig, and like, you know, these things that are recorded in time and saved and then searchable, that's, I mean, that's like that forever. You know, like you can't go back and erase your cell phone ping history. It's happened. So it's done, and it just keeps happening. So all this stuff is always going to be there. So, in the same way that we're able to go and find this Golden State Killer guy through associative DNA comparisons and samples and things like that, because we have historical samples of things, it's the same way, definitely the same way it's going to be searchable for information and people and histories of everything. So, how do we deal with that? Think about what you're lying about now, because you may not be able to keep those lies in the future. If you can't keep them now, there are too many ways to keep them. So it's, I had another discussion with a guy, yesterday. Very interesting man. Very interesting guy. And, he was in a process. He was in a weird rut, a weird big life rut, but I caught him on the upswing. You know, basically imagine somebody who's lost everything, but in losing, it's like, say, imagine, all right, imagine this guy was, he had a huge pickup truck and he was towing his house. You know, he's one of those people that can like transport their house. He's got the extra wide load on the highway and he's in his huge F-150 and he's towing his house and he's got $784,000 in that house. And he's going across the PCH, like heading up toward Malibu. And he just accidentally drives off the cliff. Yet somehow he jumps out of the car and lands in the water. So the truck, the house, the $784,000 are all swimming with the fishes and in the middle are being, you know, snorkeled by whales in the middle of the ocean right at this point, and it's all gone. Yet he's alive. He's alive. He's in pain, you know. He may have broke his hip on the way down. But he's alive, and I caught him after he like crawled up from the edge of the mountaintop, and he was just on the side of the road and didn't have a ride. And he was smoking a cigarette. And I walked by and I was like, "Hey man, can I bum a cigarette?" I was like, "I'm in Vegas. I feel like a cigarette." He's like, "Man, I only got two left, and I don't even have a car or a house or money or anything." And I was like, "All right, dude, I'm gonna go buy you a pack of cigarettes." And so I bought a pack of cigarettes, came back, and had a phenomenal day talking to him, because of course, you know, things are not what they appear. And what was the point of all that? The point of all that, oh yeah. He may be lying about everything he told me about. I don't think he is, because I'm a pretty good judge of character. But I can go check. And I think I'm gonna do that just for fun, and find out the answer to that question, and then tell you if anything, what I can find. So Ken Berman's out. It's 6:55 a.m. and have a happy Friday, everybody.